Good morning, Vineyard Community Church. Thanks for joining us virtually this morning. Let's stand, sit, and sing a song.
Show your power, O Lord, our God. Show your power, O Lord, our God. Show your power, O Lord, our God. Show your power, O Lord, our God, our God.
Into the darkness, created the light. He is the Lord, who is like unto him, never ending in days. He is the Lord, and he comes in power when we call on his name. He is the Lord. Show your power, O Lord, our God. Show your power, O Lord, our God, our God.
Your gospel, O Lord, is the hope of our nation.
You are the Lord.
It's the power of God for our salvation.
You are the Lord.
We ask not for riches, but look to the cross.
You are the Lord.
And for our inheritance, give us the lost.
You are the Lord.
Show your power, O Lord, our God. Show your power, O Lord, our God.
Show your power.
Show your power, O Lord, our God. Show your power, O Lord, our God, our God.
God in this place, we believe your goodness, we receive your grace, we delight ourselves at your table, oh God, you do all things well, just look at our lives, we can feel the love of God in this place,
we believe your goodness,
we receive your grace, we delight ourselves at your table, oh God, you do all things well, just look at our lives,
we can feel the love. God in this place, we believe your goodness, we receive your grace,
we delight ourselves at your table, oh God,
you do all things well,
just look at our lives and your power,
oh Lord, our God,
send your power,
oh Lord, our God,
send your power.
Our God,
send your power,
O Lord, our God.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm so happy that you could join us here this morning. And we have a lot of good stuff coming up here. I'm excited about this message. I'm really also excited about the worship coming up after the service, too. So, but just to start out some things, a couple announcements. If you're new with us, if this is your first time watching us online, I encourage you to check us out at vineyard05.com if you want to get some more information from about the church. And also, comment in the comments section, hey, I'd like some information about the church, or even message us. We would be more than happy to send you what we call a guest info packet. If we were having church on a Sunday morning, you would get one of those after the service. So we would be more than happy to mail you one or even meet you here at the church during the week and to pass one of those out to you. So please let us know if you're new, and we would love to meet you online. We'll send you a guest info packet. And so next Sunday is Mother's Day, and my beautiful wife, Kim, has a message of encouragement for all of us. So I'm really excited about that. We want to honor our moms. We want to spend some time and just let them know how much we appreciate them and how valued they are for all of us. And then May 17th, the Sunday after that, Pastor Dave is going to be with us. Can't wait to hear what he has to share with us. So we've got an exciting lineup of speakers in May and an even more exciting one in June. So the next couple of months are going to be really cool. I'm excited about some of the messages we have and some of our speakers here at the church that are going to be sharing with us. And then I have an even maybe bigger announcement to tell you, is that we have decided for the months of June, July, and August, I'm calling it our Outdoor Summer Service Series. So the first Sunday of each of those months, June 7th, July 5th, and August 2nd, we are going to have a service outside here at the church. We'll try to stream it live, and we'll record it. We'll have all of those various methods that you can watch it online. But church, we want to be respectful of those who are apprehensive of being around other people right now. We don't even know when we're going to be able to have church just yet. The guidelines that they're putting out and that we're reading about churches gathering are so daunting that we want to make sure that we are prepared, that we honor and respect those who are apprehensive of being around others, and that we follow the guidelines that the state is putting out for us. So just so you know where we're at on that, that's where we're at. But for these outdoor services, again, we want to be respectful, but you can come, you can sit out in the grass, you can stay in your car. But again, just be respectful, social distance. But I would like to see these services be a party. They're going to be fun, but we're going to be mindful of this stupid virus. It's called COVID, but I call it stupid. So in my head most of the time. All right, so those are some announcements coming up. And then so here's our sermon for today. We have been talking about God's supernatural presence breaking into our natural world. And when we look for him in the midst of difficult situations, we will find him. You know, last week we talked about Peter, and he was in prison for preaching the gospel. Long story short, he had his church family, his friends were praying for him. God sent an angel to break him out of jail. And the thing that we looked at in that story was that prayer has a way of getting God to change the outcome of events. And then the other thing is, when we pray, it's not just us talking to God, but when we listen. The way to see God in the midst of a difficult situation is to listen for his voice and to look where he's at. When we do that, we will see his supernatural presence break into our natural world. And so today, we're going to look at a story from the Old Testament. It's about a man named Jehoshaphat. So I'm going to say his name several times. If I can get through it every time without messing it up, great. If not, laugh along with me, because that's what we'll do. But Jehoshaphat was a king in the Old Testament. And here's the deal. I love these stories so much because they're not just man-made stories. They're not fairy tales. They're not fantasies. They're real-life events with real people who believe in a real God. And when they called upon him, when they found themselves in a difficult situation, God showed up in their lives. And we're going to look at another story about that today. And really, you may think, well, these stories seem so far-fetched. An angel broke Peter out of jail. And then this story that we're going to look at, they do seem a little far-fetched. But I want to encourage you, God is still on the move today, breaking into our lives, showing up in our lives in a supernatural way that when we look for him, we will see him. There's a phrase that you'll hear within the Vineyard movement, and it is this. You know, we like to go through life being naturally supernatural. So we're not getting weird, we're not freaking people out, but we're moving in the supernatural in a natural way. And I think that's how Jesus did it. He's our example. So the story with Jehoshaphat, it starts in 2 Chronicles chapter 17. But we're going to pick it up in chapter 20. So if you want to start turning there now, I'll set up the story. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. But Jehoshaphat was a king, and he was a king in the land of Judah. So at this time, the country of Israel was split into two parts, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was still referred to as Israel, and the southern kingdom was referred to as Jerusalem. And it contained the city of the southern kingdom was called Judah, and it contained the city of Jerusalem. So Jehoshaphat became the king in Judah, the southern part of the country. And what was happening at that time was that the people were worshiping all kinds of false gods. The Bible says they would go to the high places, these altars that they set up in different areas on hilltops, on mountainsides, and they would go and they would worship these false gods. Well, Jehoshaphat, he worshiped God Almighty. His faith was in the God of heaven, the creator of the universe. And so he put an end to all this false god worship. And then he set godly people in places within his kingdom, within his government, to run things. Now, the other thing, and the Bible says that God blessed all that Jehoshaphat set out to do. Now, the other thing about him is that he was the people's king. He didn't just hang out with the wealthy and the well-to-do and those in high places. When you read the story of him, it says he traveled across the countryside, visiting the towns and the cities and all the people. The middle class, the lower class, the upper class, he visited them all, and everybody loved him. His faith in God was so contagious that it brought about a spiritual revival across the land. And so everything that he did was to honor God. And because of that, because of the revival in the land, he got the people to turn their focus away from false gods onto the God of heaven, God Almighty, that the nation began to prosper and things were going well. And here's the thing. There was a spiritual high. There was a high with the land at the time, the nation at the time. Whenever we are in a high in life, it's always followed by a what? Say it with me. A low. Right? We can't ride that wave. We can't stay on that mountaintop forever. Life is full of highs and lows, hills and valleys, and really there's no way around it. But here's an example that I just want to give you, okay? For instance, when people say, and they have a spiritual moment, and they say, you know what? I need something bigger than myself. I need help in life. And they call upon Jesus. Things go well for a while. They put their faith, they put their trust in Jesus. Things go well for a while and everything is good. And then comes the testing or the tempting or a trial, a hard time. You know, the enemy of God doesn't like it when we switch camps, when we switch teams. Jesus himself said, if you are not for me, you are against me. So even though you may not be living a life for Jesus, but you're not a bad person, you're still morally good, you do good things, you donate to good causes, If you're not living your life for Jesus, he himself said, you're against me. And so the enemy of God, Satan, and his band of demons that roam this earth, they're fine if you don't have your faith in Jesus. They don't care. They're happy with you right there. But once you turn to Jesus, they don't like that. You've switched camps. And so really, there's no getting around this. There's no getting around the highs and lows in life. Even as a believer in Jesus, there's no getting around difficult situations, trials, temptations, testings. And so you've heard me say this. I say it so many times. I'll say it again. Even when I'm in a trial, even when I'm in a difficult time in life, I would so much rather have my Creator see me through that difficult time than try to get through it in my own strength. And I kind of wonder if this was what was happening here with Jehoshaphat. He got the nation to turn their attention from these false gods, to switch camps, so to speak, and to put their faith, their trust, their belief in God Almighty. And a spiritual revival was in the land. Because then he gets some bad news. And that's where we're going to pick this story up at, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we're going to start right in verse 1. So it happened after this. So after what? After this spiritual revival, after things were good, after a prosperous nation is thriving, after all this, that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and the others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and from some other places. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So here's my question. Have you ever had a time when you felt like everything was against you? You know, maybe you're feeling that right now. Maybe you're sensing that you know, the life right now is swallowing you up. We're in the midst of a pandemic. I'm following the current cases in America, right? And I watch a couple days, the cases will lower, the number will lower, the number will lower, and then it gets up again and it spikes. And it's daunting. It wears on your emotions. It beats you down. And so all of us are going to go through something in life that beats us up like that. And what happens when we go through that? There's a sense of bewilderment. There's a sense of fear. There's a sense of loss, uncertainty, a feeling of defeat. And I look at this story from Jehoshaphat, and I wonder if that's what he felt. Because look at verse 3. What does it say? What does it say about Jehoshaphat when he got this news? He feared. He was afraid. Life is good. The nation is thriving. Things are going good. People are worshiping God. They're not worshiping these false gods. And then he gets this news that these three enemy nations, and these were dangerous nations, were coming after him. He feared. But then in the same sentence, it says he turned himself to God. So he might have been afraid, but he went straight to God. And then he gathered the entire country to join him in prayer to God, to seek what they should do. And then if you keep reading further into that story, it says that in front of everyone, Jehoshaphat speaks to God about their situation, and he pleads to God about their inability to win this battle. He knew he wasn't going to be able to win this battle. So in front of the entire nation, he says, listen, God, these are my words. He says, listen, God, there's no way out of this. We can't win this. We need your help. And the people prayed and pleaded with him. The entire country pleaded to God for an answer. They sought God. And on behalf of the country, look what happens. They speak to God about their situation. And then through another person, they receive a word. A word of knowledge was given. A word of a prophetic word might have been given. I'm calling it a word of knowledge. So if you move with me to verse 15 here, starting in verse 14, though, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah." Then in 15, he says, "Listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you. Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz." He's basically saying, listen, here's where these nations are going to be coming. Here's where they're going to be at. You go meet them there. And he says in verse 17, "You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." And then it says Jehoshaphat bowed his face to the ground and prayed to God, worshiped God. You know, this answer is so awesome because basically the entire nation is pleading to God for help. God, we know we can't win this battle. We know these enemy nations are more powerful, more stronger, and bigger than us, and we need your help, God. And God says, listen, relax. I got this. I'm God. This isn't your battle to fight. This is my battle, and I will fight it for you. You know, God looks out for those that he calls his. Well, who are those that he calls his? Those who put their faith in him. Those who put their faith in his son, Jesus. You know, Jesus said, no man, no person comes to the Father except through me. So we have to put our faith in Jesus if we want God to call us his. And he will look out for us. And since this is true, why is it that so many people, especially believers in Jesus, go through life feeling tired and defeated and beat up? I think it's because they are trying to fight a battle that belongs to God. You know, God will fight our battles. He wants us to trust in him and to rest in his presence. And I think what happens is, the more life spirals out of control, or the more our situation seems to go out of control, we're human beings. So what do? We try our best to control the situation. And then when things don't turn out the way we want them to, we feel defeated. We feel lost. We feel depressed. We're tired. We can't go on anymore. And we go through another day and another day and another day, and we can't fight this battle anymore. When all along, I think God is trying to say, if you would call upon me, if you would speak to me, if you would pray to me, plead to me, I will hear your prayers, I will answer them, and I will fight the battle for you, because what you're going up against is not your battle to fight. It's mine. God is the one who will bring us the victory. God is the one who will bring us the comfort. And God is the one who will fight our battles for us. And when we rest in him, we are no longer tired in life, but we are full of life. And we are walking in victory. Look at how Jehoshaphat goes into battle. This story just picks up with some craziness, but also it's so awesome how God moves on his behalf. So verse 20. "So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood there and he said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets and you shall prosper.' And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out, As they went out before the army and were saying, so he puts the singers out in front, and they start singing, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now, when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushes out against these enemy nations. This is crazy. So they're worshiping God, and God causes the enemy nations to begin fighting themselves to the point that there was not one survivor. And it took the Israelites 3 days to gather up the spoils, to gather up the jewelry and the gold and the silver and all the weaponry and armor that these enemy nations had left there, because they're all dead. God won the battle for them. This is crazy, because here's the other thing. This isn't the first time that God has used praise and worship to lead his army into battle, to lead the Israelites into battle. Could it be that God has the singers and musicians lead the army into battle because it takes their focus off of the situation at hand and puts it on him? They're praising God. Here, God says, "Just stand still and you will see the salvation of the Lord. Praise me and know that I will fight this battle for you." These singers are going, "Praise the Lord, for his mercies endures forever." And right before that, Jehoshaphat gives them this pep talk. All right, "Listen, all of you, trust in the Lord. We got this. God will fight our battles for us." Think of how pumped up the army was. Think of how, I can't fathom how pumped up they were to know God is going to go before us. I don't think there was any doubt in anyone on Jehoshaphat's team, in Jehoshaphat's army. I think his army just heard that God would fight the battle for him. So they went into this with confidence, knowing that God Almighty was going to fight this battle, and they didn't need to worry. They were resting in that confidence that God had this all taken care of. When we exalt Jesus, when we worship Jesus, the spiritual realm, the enemies of his tremble. They tremble at his sight. They tremble when we praise him. They tremble when he is exalted. And check this out. Psalm 149 is a psalm that is all about praise and worship. But in verse 6, it says this: "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand." Is there a connection, do you think, between worship and warfare? God fights the battle for us. But if you get this picture in your head, spiritually, in the spirit realm, when we praise Jesus, we are moving forward in life. We are advancing in the spirit realm. We have a two-edged sword in our hand, and we are slaying our enemies with worship. I have a prayer every Sunday that I pray for you. I pray for our worship team, our singers and musicians, and it goes something like this. God, would you prepare our worship leaders? Would you prepare our singers and our musicians to stand strong would you prepare them as they lead our church into worship and onto the battlefield? Whether you know it or not, when you worship Jesus, you are on a battlefield, and God is fighting the battle for you. That's what this story is all about. When we praise God, when we praise Jesus, he's got our backs. He's fighting the battle for us. So I just want to close with this. I want to wrap it up with this. Here's what we can take away from this story. Jehoshaphat, when we look at this story of Jehoshaphat, we can see that when we turn our focus on God, when we turn our focus on Jesus, we will see that we are well cared for, taken care of, and protected. And we should not be afraid to publicly declare our faith in Jesus. Jehoshaphat wasn't afraid of that. And we should also not be afraid to involve others when it comes to prayer, when it comes to things in our lives, when it seems like the world is closing in. Gather your friends together and pray to God. Because by doing this, Jehoshaphat was able to hear from somebody else about the plans that God had. And God's supernatural presence broke into the natural in a mighty way. Could you imagine being a part of Jehoshaphat's army? They're singing praises to God, and then all of a sudden you hear swords clanking and just you hear a battle. And you look across the land and you see your enemy nations fighting each other. I couldn't imagine the victory they were feeling when they saw that. And then the last thing is this: God fights our battles. He fights our battles. And a good way of getting our attention and our focus off of our situation at hand is to focus on Jesus through worship. Through worship. Listen, music is a powerful thing. No matter what genre you like, no matter what kind of music you're listening to, there's no doubt all of us can come into agreement, whether it's jazz, whether it's heavy metal, whether it's worship, whether it's classical. Music has a way of getting us to move emotionally in different directions. So how much more do you think worship is going to get you to take your focus off of the situation at hand and onto Jesus? You know, Satan was the chief musician in heaven before he was cast out. He was the worship leader in heaven before he rebelled against God and was kicked out of heaven. So how much damage do you think it does to his team when we focus on Jesus in the area of worship with music? I believe he trembles. I believe his team trembles, and I believe they feel defeat. And then last but not least, when we feel surrounded in life, know that God is who fights our battles for us. He will push the enemies away and then surround us with his love and his presence. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much. I thank you, God, that through these stories, we can use them as examples on how you will take care of us. We can look at how you took care of Jehoshaphat and the nation of Judah, the nation of Israel, and we can use that as an example as to how you will take care of us. And God, I pray for those right now who grabbed a hold of that and said, yes, I need God to fight my battles. I'm gonna involve people in prayer with me. I'm gonna listen for God. I'm gonna see where he's at. And I'm gonna worship God and see how he will take care of this for me. So God, I ask that you would bless that. I ask that you would bless each person watching this today and that you would speak to us in the areas of worship and the fact that these are not our battles to fight. God will fight the battles for you. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So I have a couple of things. The first one is this. I really sense like there are some people right now that are just feeling like swallowed up in fear. You know, this is beyond just surface fear of this virus, but it's fear of the unknown, like the future. You know, there's talk of another spike in the fall, or, you know, when is this ever going to be over? And you are just so, just, it's almost like quicksand, like a heavy blanket comes over you and you're just fearful. You're almost paralyzed in fear. On a Sunday morning here at church, I would say, if that speaks to you, you know, would you raise your hand? And what I want to do right now is I just want to say, wherever you're at home or, you know, watching on TV, watching on your phone, tablet, computer, whatever, if that speaks to you, would you just do me a favor and raise your hand? I think that what that does is that is a public declaration of saying, oh God, you're speaking to me. And I want this fear to be lifted. And when you make a public declaration of raising your hand, especially in front of people, you are saying, I no longer want this to have a hold of me. And so, God, I speak to those right now who have their hands raised. God, I rebuke that fear. In the name of Jesus, drive that fear out of their lives right now. God, get them to understand that this is not a battle for them to fight. This is your battle. You know what? I feel so bold in saying this, but thus saith the Lord, it is his battle and he will fight it for you. Just relax and let him take control. Amen. God, I thank you for that. And I thank you for the peace. I thank you for the comfort. And I thank you for the stability that they will now have mentally and spiritually and even physically in their lives from here on out. In Jesus' name. Amen. And then the second thing is this. Maybe you're new to watching us online. Maybe you were just scrolling through and you saw this and you thought, oh, I'm going to check this out. And so I just want to give you a chance to put your trust and your faith in Jesus. And maybe you're a good person. And this is who I really think this is reaching out to right now. You're a good person. You live a good life. You do good things. You donate to good causes. But you don't have a faith in Jesus. And you've really never felt the need to either. But something right now is drawing you to sense that need to have a Savior, to have something bigger than yourself to trust in. And that is Jesus. He's your creator. He loves you more than anything. So I want to give you a chance here in just a couple of minutes. And again, on Sunday morning, I'd say raise your hand. But I just want to give you a chance. We're going to say a prayer together to invite Jesus into your life. And then also, maybe you're watching this and you once had faith in Jesus, but for whatever reason, you've just kind of strayed away. And you know, I always think that we have to have our lives straightened up and perfect before God will accept us back, right? Man, God doesn't care how perfect you are. He just cares that you're with him. He will help you figure all that out later in life. Don't worry about that. If we waited until we were perfect, none of us would come to Jesus. So listen, if you feel like the first section of people is you, like man, I want to put my faith in Jesus. I need something bigger than myself to trust in. Repeat this prayer with me. And if you felt like you strayed away and maybe you're waiting for the perfect time in life to come back to Jesus, it isn't going to happen. So let's do it now. So just pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for getting my attention today. I thank you for looking out for me. I thank you for cutting through all the noise in my life and getting me to understand that I need you. And so I invite you into my life. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins, and I ask you to help me to live a life according to your ways from this day forward. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So listen, I am so excited. If you prayed that prayer with me, would you let us know, maybe in the comment sections, or send us a message on Facebook, or even email us, info@vineyard05.com. We would love to send you some information. Just say, hey, I prayed this prayer to ask Jesus into my life. Can I have some information about that? And we will send it to you. I personally would just like to hear about how Jesus is moving in people's lives. And then even if you felt like you're being engulfed in fear, let us know. Send us a message, send us an email, because I want to pray for you throughout the week. And really, I just want to know where God is working. Amen. So this is a time where we're going to take our offering. So we're just going to pray over our offering. And at the end of this service, on the screen will be a variety of ways that you can give to the church. And so let's take our offering virtually. So pray with me, church. Lord God, I just thank you for all the tithes and the offerings that are represented here. God, I ask that you would bless each individual, God, the families, the individuals, the companies that are represented in the money that is given to this church, God. By all the various methods, bill pay, online giving, text to give, mailing in checks, God, that your blessings would abound for those who are giving, God, especially in this time. And God, I also want to ask that you would help us at Vineyard Community Church use that money to the best of our ability to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Listen, thanks for joining us today. We love you. We can't wait to see you next week. I will be praying that each one of you has a great week. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.
though I may find it hard, I will trust you too.
Though I walk through the valley, I fear no one.
Surely love and goodness follows all the days I have left. 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 Oh, Jesus, my Lord. just the only one who could ever say. And you're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Surrounded by you, I'm surrounded by
surrounded by your fire. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. We love you. Be blessed. Surrounded by you, by you. I'm surrounded by you, by you. I'm surrounded by you, by you. I'm surrounded by you. I'm surrounded by you, by you. I'm surrounded by you, by you. I'm surrounded by you, by you. I'm surrounded by you.
Feel that presence. Woo.